Well, a lot of 17-year-olds are disappointed not getting the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's all the news that isn't. Then we eat up an interview with funny man and author Jim Gaffigan. Plus, we'll try to find an artiste to play the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's enrolling in senior UW so he can finally play quarterback for the Badgers, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah. I'm going to throw the old ball for the Badgers for all this time. You can sit in the class without, you don't have to pay tuition at a certain age. I won't tell you which one. And then you get to play football. What a cool deal. Okay, so frost advisory. You okay? You guys get through the frost advisory okay? That's good. Frost advisory. Like, we've never seen frost, you know. Bulletin. Frost advisory. Frost. What's that, what that stuff on the pumpkins is? How about a crappy weather advisory? That'd be useful, at least, if you want to give weather advisories. Well, anyhow, in all the news that isn't, Kim Jong-un is on North Korean milk cartons. And full size. They got all of them on there. Unfortunately, there's no milk in North Korean milk cartons, but that's another story. Actually, he's gone back to his Gangnam-style day job. He was better at that, anyhow, I thought, than running a country. Hewlett-Packard reforms as Packlet-Hukeward. I don't know, I tried that about 10 different times. I could. President Obama voluntarily enters a leper colony. Hey, they send my wife out to speak for me. I say, drag the river. Apparently, Red Bull does not give you wings. There's a class action suit on behalf of Red Bull drinkers who believed they could fly on Red Bull. So you get two free cans of Red Bull and some knee pads. Reacting to the loss of voter ID in Wisconsin, Republicans to require pap smears or prostate probes to vote. I'm taking the pap smear because I know they'll find nothing wrong. Okay. Vatican streamlines annulments. Now it's just one Hail Mary and two Our Fathers, and you're out of there. That's cool. A 40,000-year-old cave painting called Derivative. They saw it. They said, it's been done. Dairy Queen customer cards have been hacked. That makes everybody now has been hacked after Target and Home Depot, so you've been hacked. And Gentleman Jim's adult video, that too. They got everything. Sarah Palin says it was not a brawl, it was a baby shower. And man, those babies flew. Excuse me. Okay, three Nobel Prizes for LEDs seems a little high. Isn't it? Three Nobels for LEDs. If they were tiny little light-emitting Nobel Prizes, then I could see it. And I actually thought of light-emitting diodes years ago, and I might have said something to somebody, you know. What can you do? That's life. Let's see, where was I? Yes. Holiday sales projections suggest you will have a 4.1% merrier Christmas, so that's good. Hanukkah will be 8.3 days. Slightly higher in Canada. Gay couples lose their last chance to say, you know, I really wish we could get married. I mean, it's a shame. AT&T guilty of phone cramming, which is when they take your phone and, you know, The Koreas exchange friendly fire. I would like to say there's no DMZ between us and the UP, you know. That's why we are not the Koreas. So that's cool. Autopilot, a new Tesla D electric car, accelerates from 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds and in any direction it chooses, because it's autopilot, man. You got no say in it. Then it auto brakes for you. It corrects when you go in and out of the lane, and it tells the cop that stops you it wasn't your fault. What a car. And finally, and I mean that, Green Day, or Green Daycare as we used to call him, is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How does that make you feel, kids? Like old? That's all the news that isn't. Thank you so much. Green Daycare Hall of Fame. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We're waiting for Jim Gaffigan. It's like waiting for Godot, actually. Waiting for Gaffigan. So he's going to call us. So, Jim, if you're out there, you're probably not listening anyhow, but because we're going to talk about Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets. Yeah, Hot Pockets. Anyone have a favorite Hot Pocket?
The one that doesn't kill you.
The one that doesn't kill you is the best Hot Pocket. That's almost in Bartlett's quotations, I bet. It's the Hot Pocket that doesn't kill you. Jim Gaffigan, of course, has got a new book out here. We're waiting for him to call. That's not what it's called. It's called Food, A Love Story. It's a picture of him on top of a cake with, he's the groom and the bride is a hot dog. And we're still waiting for him. A little music now while we wait for Jim Gaffigan. The call of Jim Gaffigan. We're getting other comedians, but not Jim Gaffigan.
Did he know when to call?
What, are you asking? Do I do that part of the show?
Oh, I don't know.
Who does do that part of the show?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead. Go on, a little Jeff. Jim Gaffigan music. Hot Pockets. Is there a Hot Pockets theme?
My Hot Pockets. I love those Hot Pockets. Yeah. Give me a Hot Pocket.
That doesn't kill me.
How about another one? Hot Pocket today. Those Hot Pockets.
This is the first time you've sung on the show, I think, isn't it, in all these years? Now I know why. I kind of like it, though. It's catchy.
Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
All right, let's just read the book instead.
Jim, where are you?
Okay, let's see here. I like this the buffet rule. Okay.
So what's that book about anyhow, Mike?
It's about, I'll read you a little bit from him while waiting for him. He's in Iowa somewhere. Maybe he's not, they don't have a lot of phones in Iowa.
He's busy eating.
So that could be it. Nobody really likes fruit. Recently I saw an apple and for a moment I didn't recognize it. Just for a second I was like, what is that, a paperweight? Oh, that's an apple. It's so weird not to see it in a pie. Okay, more of this as we get to Jim Gaffigan, who's somewhere in Iowa right now. That's from the one on... what they call baloney or bologna. That's a big issue for him. Guy, all right, how do you want to pronounce this word? Baloney. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a G in the word. I don't see no G. Let's go with baloney. Okay, well, the word does end with an A. Baloney. We're going with baloney. Trust me. I decided on the pronunciation of the word Colonel. Colonel. Okay. Here's a picture of a young Jim Gaffigan as a bologna eater. So we have that going for us right there. Look at a very nice young man growing up in Indiana. In fact, matter of fact, I have his Wikipedia here. We can go into that right now. Jim Gaffigan was actually born in Elgin, Illinois. Anyone here from Elgin? Or are you just rubbing your face, sir? Okay. And rub the sleepies out of your eyes? Or okay, no, okay. You're not from Elgin? No, you're from Lake Mills. No, okay. Anyone ever been to Elgin? Yeah, what did you, why were you there?
My brother broke his leg and his arm.
Your brother broke his leg and his arm in Elgin?
Right outside Elgin, he tried to jump a train.
Tried to jump a train outside of Elgin. What?
It was going way too fast.
It was going way too fast. Was that the first time he tried to jump a train?
Nope.
It wasn't. But he misjudged it?
Yep.
How could he do that? Is your brother like that?
Yeah, he's like that.
He's like that. He's okay now. This is years ago.
Okay,
yep. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's where he was born. He didn't stay there. He was raised in Chesterton, Indiana. Anyone been to Chesterton, Indiana? Okay. That's called no show of hands. He attended La Lumiere School in La Porte. Now, someone's been to La Porte, Indiana. Don't you people get out at all? You've been to La Porte? The man from Lake Mills has been to La Porte. What were you doing there?
Business.
Oh, I see. Okay, your kids are there, so you can't really say business.
It's a bunch of baloney.
Bunch of bologna. Youngest of six children, often jokes about growing up in a large family. He attended Purdue University. Anyone been to Purdue? Is that your school? You can applaud because we're on radio and they can't see you doing a thumbs up or making a P with your hand or whatever that you do. What? Purdue? Yes? And what? You're with a guy whose brother tried to jump a fast train. And what did you study at Purdue?
Mechanical engineering.
Place to do it, right? Purdue. They got that concrete boats that they make there and everything. What?
Something like that.
Yeah. And are you in mechanical engineering now as a result of your Purdue education?
Well, not really.
No, you're not. Are you jumping trains with his brother?
No.
No. Did you get a job in mechanical engineering, though?
I did some engineering.
Some engineering?
Sorry.
On your own time?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yes, and someone else here was from Purdue or went to Purdue? Been to Purdue?
My sister did.
Your sister? And how did she describe the experience?
She got a master's in chemical engineering.
Chemical engineering.
It's pretty flat. It's pretty desolate.
Yeah. Flat and desolate, but is she working is the question. She loves it? She loves flat and desolate, is what you're saying. That's your sister, right? She's great. You got to admire that. For 1 year, okay, he was a member of Phi Gamma Delta. I think that's pretty famous, isn't it? Phi Gamma Delta. You heard of them? It's like Animal House of Purdue, isn't it? Yeah. No, he's still not here. Okay. Then he went to Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business in 1988. Boy, that was a big leap, isn't it? 1 minute you're in Purdue, next minute you're in Georgetown. How about that? School of Business, 1988. Then he graduated and moved to New York City to work in advertising and took improv classes at night. See, kids? Follow your dream. Go to Georgetown University School of Business and then do improv at night. Married to actress Jeannie Noth, who is from Wisconsin, I'm told. I was hoping to find out more about that. Where from Wisconsin? Anyone know? Offhand? No. Okay. I'd ask him, but he's still hasn't called. He has two daughters, Mar and Katie Louise, and three sons, Jack, Michael, and Patrick. They live in a two-bedroom apartment in New York City. Gaffigan has stated on stage and elsewhere that he is Catholic. Isn't that a weird thing to put in? Why, you know, that seems like a non sequitur, so, you know, like he's openly Catholic. Aren't we beyond that? I would have thought that we were past that.
Are we post-Catholic?
No, we're not post-Catholic. I mean, you know, say that, you know, he admitted he was Catholic.
Under questioning.
He admitted he was Catholic. That's silly. Gaffigan is known for his routines or skits relating to being lazy and eating food, especially popular routines regarding Hot Pockets. Okay, well, the history of the Hot Pockets thing. I know at some point that when he goes through an airport, people shout, Hot Pockets! At him. And he never tires of it, because he's quite a nice guy. All right, I got other charity performances here, but I don't think we'll get to those yet. I could read more from the book, but I'll tell you what, why don't we, do we have any idea? Is anyone doing anything about this? let me ask you this. Who would do something about it if someone was doing something? What? Is he here? No. Wait a minute. Wasn't that the producer? Was that Adam, the producer? Well, just tell me what's happening. That's okay. You did nothing wrong. I'm sure you did nothing wrong. Just tell me what's happening.
Seems like he's hiding now.
Yeah, he's hiding. He's literally...
Oh, there he is.
Yeah. Do we know he's supposed to call you?
Oh, he's hiding again.
Trying to find a number. Adam's trying to find a number, it says on here. Well, if he's in Indiana, you know, there's like 8 different time zones.
Yeah.
Who knows how many area codes they have. Okay, all right. Let's go to a little musical number right now, because I don't want to spoil for you when we finally do get him by telling you all about his life and time. So. Want to sing the Hot Pocket song again or do something else? Okay. John Tulin, Jeff Hammond on the bass. Waiting for Guthrie. For Jim. By the boys in the band, we seem to have Jim Gaffigan, do we? Let's see. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. Thank you.
We were worried about you. We couldn't find you for a minute there. Des Moines is big, though. Guy could get lost.
I was at the buffet. There's a free buffet.
That's and, nice. Are you there?
Are
you there?
Corralling my kids.
Oh, you got the kids with you?
Yes.
Oh, that makes sense then. I love the way you exploit your kids in a good way.
That's right. You know, they got to, you know, in between their construction work jobs, I have to use them.
Yeah. They're so cute in the book, all the little pictures, and they're so willing to pose for shots and look goofy to further their father's career. And I wish my kids felt that way. I'd be farther along now than I am. Yes. Okay. Anyway, how are you? Good?
I'm good.
Good?
I've got a big wedding coming up.
You have a wedding coming? You're going to a wedding in Des Moines?
I'm going to a wedding in Des Moines.
Yeah.
And I've had the opportunity to have a lot of conversations with relatives that that I didn't want to have again, you know?
That explains the attitude we find you in, I think. You're sort of in that attitude of having talked to relatives.
So, I love them. There's just a reason why I live 3,000 miles away.
And nothing ever ends with relatives, you know? Nothing's ever settled. Yeah. It's got to go through the same things. Are these relatives from Indiana?
These are relatives from, these are my wife's relatives, but there's dysphoria of my tail people everywhere.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. So, and she's from Wisconsin, is that true?
She's from Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's where we are here.
I love Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin.
Yes. That's great, because I love your wife.
Yeah, she's...
She's a knockout.
She's very fertile. Be careful.
Just five so far. I don't see what the problem is.
I haven't talked to her in an hour, so that could be different.
But where in Wisconsin is she from?
She's from Milwaukee.
Oh, she is. I'm from Milwaukee. God, I bet we never met. Where'd she go to school?
She went to Rufus King.
Oh, no. We didn't go down that way.
Okay.
That's more like
South. That was the dangerous area?
It's more like South Side. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on the Northwest Side. There was a divide. Sherman Boulevard, we didn't go beyond that.
There you go.
You got to have it. So anyhow, we got the book here, Food, A Love Story. And do you ever get tired of people yelling Hot Pockets at you in airports and things?
Well, I just never know how to respond, really. You know, they'll say Hot Pockets, and I'll just be like, thanks, or Hot Pocket back at you.
Yeah. Are you sorry you ever started the Hot Pockets thing? Or it sort of launched a career in a way?
Yeah, no, it's really a blessing. It's just... there's something strange about how Hot Pockets is in the news more than Lindsay Lohan at this point.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
You know, there's always some type of recall of some Hot Pocket, like it's, you know, like it was a Ford Fiesta that they recall.
Yeah.
You know, and they recently discovered that there was unsound meat, which I didn't even know you could describe food that way. And but people that eat Hot Pockets, when we heard that some of the meat was unsound, we all kind of collectively said, we know.
That's why it makes hot
breaking news.
That's why it goes straight to Hot Pockets. Unsound meat goes straight to Hot Pockets.
Yes.
There's a big tank out there.
Yeah.
I am not of the Hot Pockets generation because I came before that. I mean, we had like TV dinners, but we didn't have anything like Hot Pockets. But we did. I always thought that I had one cultural thing that I observed, that every culture has a form of kreplach, and it's sort of like Hot Pockets.
Yeah, I think every culture has a Hot Pocket. You know, there's the empanada.
Yeah.
There's the ravioli. There's the pierogi. There's the new Jamaican meat pie.
Yeah.
For the Irish, they have beer, you know.
And the kreplach is the Jewish
version. Yeah, they kreplach, too.
Well, I'm setting you up pretty good here so far. I don't know. It's going good, don't you?
Yeah. It's just feeling good.
Not so
bad. I don't know why you wanted me to call in naked, but I'm following.
Are you secretly, though, like an aficionado of some form of food or a high-end eater? I mean, you know, when you're not... I mean, obviously, this is part of a routine, but I mean, I bet secretly you are an aficionado.
I wish I had... more refined taste in food, but I'm just not that bored with the regular food. Like I don't need cranberry sauce on my steak. I just want the steak, you know.
Who puts cranberry sauce on your steak?
Well, you know, you go to these high-end restaurants, and they just, it's just, they're obviously serving a clientele that just goes out to dinner every single night of the week. And you're like, no, you know what, I just want a steak.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't understand the people that are even ordering fish when they go out to dinner. It's like, how bored are you with eating if you're ordering fish?
Well, on Friday, though, come on.
Fish, well, I know that there's the fish thing, and, you know, my wife is a devout Catholic. I'm Catholic, too. So every Friday during Lent, we eat fish, which is supposed to symbolize the suffering of Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
Which I just think that means at one point someone was having a conversation, well, how should we honor the sacrifice of Jesus? And another guy was like, well, we could fast, we could starve ourselves. The first guy was like, nah, that's too easy. We'll just go with fish. You know? And the other guy was like, I'd rather be crucified.
Yeah. You know?
The true story, it's in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was a fisher of men. Maybe that's what they're going for. You know.
Yeah, I mean, that... That whole fish thing,
yeah.
That's just too much.
Yeah. Well, of course, you don't like shellfish. And you know, I'm Jewish. I'm openly Jewish. You're openly Catholic. I'm openly Jewish. And shellfish is forbidden to us, so, of course, I love it. I love shellfish and Catholic girls, basically. The two,
well, you know,
the two forbidden things.
The shellfish, you're really like the oysters and clams. You like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's just snot in a rock that you're eating. That's just...
Now I don't like it so much, but I did. You could kill off a lot of appetites for me, actually.
Yeah, I've stopped my wife from eating a lot of things. You know, crab is a big thing in Maryland, and that's just too much work. That's like the pistachio of seafood, you know?
Yeah, and kids with hammers. You got a picture of kids all holding hammers. That's a good idea,
yeah,
I think.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
You know?
But
just, they just tap away.
And what do you call them, like sea bugs or something? Is that your idea about shellfish?
They're creepy, crawly, giant insects on the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
My whole thing is, if it looks like something that would crawl out from under your refrigerator, don't eat it.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless your refrigerator is under the sea, in which case.
Yeah.
It would be okay. For some people, not for you.
Yeah.
And then you're also famous, of course, for this Dunkin' Donut burger. That's another thing. You have like two claims to fame, which is more than most of us will ever have. But that's a weird thing. How did that start?
Yeah, I mean, I had this joke, you know, years ago about how Americans were never really satisfied with a burger. It's like, you know, it'd be good on this hamburger, a ham sandwich. You know, and instead of buns, we could use donuts, you know. And then a couple of years later, you know, we started seeing it mostly at state fairs, which, and Dunkin' Donuts now has it. I've been performing at some state fairs. I know Wisconsin has an amazing state fair.
Yeah.
I've been there and I've taking my kids polka dancing and all that. And, you know, the state fair used to be kind of where all these farmers would come and see who has the biggest pig. And now all the food is deep fried. So it's like, who's going to become the biggest pig? It's a very interesting adjustment.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Peoria, the burger barge? We were down there.
No. In Peoria?
In Peoria, it's called the burger. It's an actual barge. And they're actual burgers, but they have burgers where they put, like, what do they put on top of a burger there?
Everything.
Yeah. They put ham, they put a chicken, an entire chicken or half chicken. Yeah.
Fried egg.
Yeah.
Fried egg.
Yeah.
What
deep fried cheese, everything.
Yeah, on top of the burger is in there underneath
fried
it.
Fried fish, all of it. Yeah.
So that's a place you should go to.
Reuben.
You know, in Des Moines, they have a place called Zombie Burger, which... where they put peanut butter, they put everything on there, and you just go. I just imagine that the kitchen is just people in there with a bunch of bongs, just thinking of what to cook next.
Yeah,
you know,
like a food truck in Portlandia or something.
Yeah,
which you did, by the way. What did. What was especially of your food truck in Portlandia?
I think we're stews. We made stews and. We were two kind of, you know, a couple of men that were bears that were, it was a very, you know, that was so fun because, you know, you just improvise and there's no bad take really because it's just a bunch of funny people.
Yeah.
And,
stews.
But yeah, no, we did the food truck thing and I talk about that a little bit in my book. You know, a food truck, to me, it's like, I don't understand why we're so fascinated. You know how it's like, hey, what if you got a grilled cheese that was made in the back of a van? I don't understand the appeal, really. You know, it's just, and occasionally you'll see a food truck, and it just looks like it's wandered away from some kind of caravan.
Yeah.
You know, like we're selling coffee to make money to find the rest of our caravan. It's very odd.
They actually have a prisoner in back there who's ironing pieces of bread with cheese between them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Yeah. Very unusual. And stews, but stews are probably the worst idea for a food truck. So that was rather brilliant.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Who would do a food truck?
Well, I'm not a fan of soup in general. I just think it's for people that are lazy that they're like, you know, I'd like something to eat, but I'd also like something to drink. You know.
There you
it's
go.
It's just kind of lazy.
Yeah, it's kind of lazy. Which you're not opposed to.
I'm not opposed to it.
No.
I'm not anti-soup.
Yeah. Do you ever get anything that was infused? You know, like we're talking about this upper end, this high-end stuff. They have infusions they put into food. Do you ever try something, one of those things?
My infusion probably kind of ends at combos. Like I'll have the combo that tastes like pizza. I don't know if that's technically an infusion.
You mean because one leaks into the other?
Yeah. Or it's a little bit of a cheese pretzel thing, but it's also a pizza. I think it's infused with pizza.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if that technically is the same type of culinary adventure.
That's more like osmosis or something because they're adjacent.
That's science being used for good.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a thing that I don't know if you saw it in the New York Times. They did this thing where they took a dozen kids out to a really expensive restaurant in New York to see if they'd like it. Did you see that article? I thought of you when I saw it. Have you ever
That sounds brilliant.
Well, they seemed to like it because they were New York kids, you know, so they enjoyed it quite a bit. It was like $220 a plate or something like that. But,
that's so funny. So it wasn't like that scene in The Wire where... You know, where the guy just wanted to go to McDonald's.
Not like that at all. Have you ever done? Have you given your kids kind of high end food experience as well? As
part I've of the... taken we. You know, I used to do shows every Thanksgiving in Vegas, and I took my kids to some high end restaurant, and there was a pumpkin soup that was in an actual pumpkin, and my kids just, you know, they're just, it's, I mean, I have a son who doesn't think that, he doesn't like mashed potatoes, and I think that's enough to make you want to get a paternity test, right? You know? I mean, mashed potatoes, that's like the ice cream of potatoes, right?
Is that Michael or Patrick?
That would be Jack.
That's Jack.
But that same son loves bratwurst, so
there
he's
you
a
go.
Keeper.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that was at the center of it, though, just the pumpkin soup and a pumpkin, as far as high end or you know culinary delights for the kids.
I just whenever I take my kids out to dinner, which is it's in between a time where I forget how stupid it is to take five young children to a restaurant.
No.
So the span is usually 6 months. But there's usually, there's just a lot. I just feel sorry for the wait staff, you know, because they always start off bright, kind of like, oh, I love kids. And then by the end, they're like, which one do I get to kill, you know?
Yeah. Well, your kids are great, though. I mean, and they're so game to do all this stuff. And you should really have a troupe. You should do a comedy troupe with your children. That would be. We haven't had that since, I think, the Trapp family. Actually, a troupe of performers.
I do shows at the Pabst Theater every New Year's Eve weekend, and my kids will introduce me by singing Gaffigan to Harrigan, and and they're almost getting to the point where they're like, we're not going to do this anymore, but they still like it.
Let's talk types of food for just a second here. Now, I know Chinese, sure. Is Chinese food perhaps your favorite? If you in a place and there is a variety of choices in your fast food diet, would you go Chinese?
I love Chinese. I you know, it's just, it's the fastest to make and the slowest to eat for me. But you know, like when it comes to Asian food, I just think that Thailand is just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like I kind of wrote about, if I lived in Thailand or near a Thai restaurant, I would be so fat. And then I realized I do live near a Thai restaurant and I am fat.
Yeah. That's one of those light bulb experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I German food, obviously, because you do love the bratwurst. You love your worst.
I do. I mean, I love German food. It's amazing, but of course you can only eat it like once a year, so I don't know what the Germans are eating the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's too heavy. Yeah. It's amazing, but it's like, I don't know what they're eating otherwise.
Uh-huh. You got to like any culture that hammers their food to make it even heavier. You know,
yeah.
Pounding a nice little cutlet.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, love it all. Any kind of food that you abhor besides shellfish and fish? You don't like vegetables? What's the problem?
I think that a lot of vegetables were not intended to be eaten. I think that they were kind of a joke. Like the Brussels sprouts, that was obviously God's joke. He was like, oh, what if I did a cabbage that was really tiny? Ha, ha, ha. And people started eating them. And I think radishes are just, it's just fascinating how something can taste so bland and so bitter at the same time.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And why it survived as a food. Yeah.
The avocado is amazing. I think that should be classified as a cheese. It's so good. But a lot of vegetables, like the cucumber, I just consider that, a pickle before it started drinking, you know. A squash, it actually has the instruction what you're supposed to do with it in the name, which is pretty impressive.
That's pretty unique, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Everyone likes a piece of fruit. Didn't your mother always say to you, take Michael, she didn't say Michael, she said Jim, have a nice piece of fruit.
Well, my belief is that fruit is, the only reason we have a positive association with fruit is in comparison to vegetables. So we're just, otherwise we wouldn't really care.
No.
And I think that we haven't really valued fruit for a long time. That's why there are so many paintings of just bowls of fruit in museums. Because you could start painting a bowl of fruit, and you could leave for a couple of days, and if you came back, no one would have touched the fruit. Because no one wants fruit, really. And but if you did that with a donut, you know, you couldn't even take a bathroom break.
Exactly. Right? That's a good point. In terms
this is
of
some wisdom, I'm sharing.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. In terms of nutrients, though, how you only get your vegetables and fruits by eating animals that have consumed them? Is that my understanding?
That's what I try to do.
Yeah.
I try to do that. I don't eat animals that eat other animals. That's just barbaric. That's just weird. Like, who's eating a lion? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That lion's a lunatic.
Yeah.
You know. But a cow, you know, it's weird. I've never looked at a cow and thought, I want to eat that. But once the cow is slaughtered and drained of all its blood and put on a grill, I get hungry for cow.
Yeah. You know? It's funny. There's a transition somewhere in the process.
Somewhere in there. But
whereas Mexican food is never bad.
Mexican food is, it's, it's one of God's great gifts. You know, it's like he's given us so many things, but Mexican food, I don't want to brag or anything, but I used to be a waiter in a Mexican restaurant in Indiana, and that's where you want to go for Mexican. You know? Indiana or Poland, you know?
Yeah.
And I love Mexican food. It's essentially all the same ingredients. So as a waiter, you'd always have to deal with these stupid questions to be like, what is nachos? And you're like, nachos? That's tortilla with cheese, meat, and vegetables. Well, then what is a tostada? Tortilla with cheese, meat, and vegetables. Well, then what is a burrito? Tortilla with cheese, meat. Well, then what is... Look, it's all the same crap. Just say a Spanish word, and I'll bring you something delightful. But it's amazing.
Is there high-end Mexican food? There must be. I suppose in Mexico City,
there are
some amazing restaurants. But what do they serve?
There is. I was at a Mexican restaurant in L.A., and they served a tomato that was covered in chocolate for dessert, and it was good. It was amazing. That's how skilled they are at cooking.
Yeah.
They actually made a vegetable taste good.
Yeah. Finally, something you can do with tomatoes, right? Put chocolate
on
them. That does seem to be a trend, because they're doing it even with bacon now, you know, bacon dipped in chocolate. Bacon wasn't good enough, apparently.
Yeah, you know, the bacon thing is just, it's taken off to a point where no one thought that bacon would be this popular, right?
Yeah.
Even bacon's like, settle down, everyone, you know? But it's to the point. And, you know, I have vegetarian friends where they have no interest in eating meat, but the smell of bacon will make them very nervous. Like, it'll make them question their values. So, bacon's that good. It's a strange, powerful thing.
It's gotten more powerful as time has gone. The state fair has probably been a lot of that. But have you seen there are bacon bowls now? You can buy bowls that are, the bowl is bacon.
Yeah. That's kind of bacon is kind of the chia pet of today, right? That bacon bowl is the chia pet. Because you know in a couple of years, we're going to, most 90% of all garage sales are just going to be those bacon bowls, right?
That'll be it. They'll be out there. And still it's usable.
Still usable.
Still edible. And then, there's so much to talk to you about, but Brussels sprouts, no. But this coffee thing now probably is the biggest thing right now. Do you have a coffee? Do you go in and get something with latte skinny? Are you able to do that, or is that not your thing?
I've totally fallen for the coffee thing.
Yeah.
I love it because, you know, there is a point where you go from I just need this to stay awake during the day, but then there comes a point where you want quality coffee, but it's just the process of getting that cup of coffee in the cafes where I just don't like to wait. You know, I don't like, you know, when they're doing my espresso or something like that, it's just like grind my coffee. You know, you're not building an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
You know, you're it's like, I understand that what they do, there is some artistry to it, but just, you know, do that. And, you know, this is not your indie band. Just make my coffee. You know?
But then Dunkin' Donuts has got really good coffee, so that sort of solves that problem.
Yeah, Dunkies, it's just amazing. I live in the Northeast where that is Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, I'm going to Boston in a couple weeks, and the power of Dunkin' Donuts, I mean, I think that Boston loves Dunkin' Donuts more than they hate New York City. It's pretty amazing.
That's amazing, if true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole thing about cops in the donut shop, not true?
Well, I just think it's very strange how we view, that cliche. It's like, you know, cops love donuts. And you're like, you know who else loves donuts? Absolutely everyone. You know,
yeah.
I don't really. How are we kind of criticizing, we're going to get those cops back by accusing them of loving that thing everyone loves?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anything about, now they say obesity is an epidemic, anything about that give you pause in some of your habits?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously obesity is an issue. And I think, you know, Americans, it's like we started overeating. You know, we couldn't handle the post-World War II boom, right? We're like, oh, well, all that stuff is so good. But I also think that, I don't know, eating good food is, that's happiness, right? That's, for some of us, that's like, you know, a special piece of happiness. Like, I'd rather spend money on a good burger than a boat, you know? Yeah. I mean, I don't understand the people that need a boat, but that's just me.
Yeah. So you wouldn't advocate binging and purging as a way
no,
of having,
I'm not
having both.
Go that far.
Best of both worlds.
That's wrong. Yeah. Just don't pin. Just don't binge. I mean, just don't purge. That's my motto. No, binge. But, you know, I was writing this book, and I wrote it with my wife. And yeah. She was, you know, there was a time there where she was like, you have to put some disclaimer at the end saying this is no way to lead your life.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I think that we all realize that, you know, you shouldn't eat at McDonald's every day, or you shouldn't have cheese curds for lunch every day.
Yeah.
But if you have deep fried cheese curds, which are that's what, you know, the French fry and heaven had a baby. That's what a cheese curd is.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you do that once a month, it's not the end of the world.
No.
You know. But don't complain about not fitting in a swimsuit. You know what I mean?
I never heard a man complain about that. I mean, they
That's
don't,
right.
But they never complain about it. You know, they obviously right. don't fit in that swimsuit, or something doesn't
yeah.
fit in there.
Yeah.
The only problem is, I mean, if you die of a coronary heart disease at 50, sales of your book are going to drop. They're going to plummet.
Yeah, but then again, I think when someone dies, then the sales go up.
Okay.
Don't they?
So it's a win-win either way. If you live or if you die, you're in good shape here. Jim Gaffigan.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. Jim Gaffigan, ladies and gentlemen. Food of Love Story. Thanks, Jim. We appreciate it. Have a nice wedding.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI,
oh, yeah!
Public Radio International.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, Steve's here from Grafton. What do you do out there in Grafton, Steve?
I'm a box maker.
You're a box maker? You make all shapes of boxes?
Oh, yeah. RSCs, die cuts.
Oh, yeah? Did you ever do a box that hadn't been made before, like an innovative box?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What's, for example, an unusual box that you made?
Not really on the machine I work on, but other machines. Yeah. The die cuts mostly do the fancy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like a polyhedron,
like multi-folds
box.
And
multi-folds. That's more than one fold, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
that's a lot of folds in one box. And there's a company you do this for?
Yeah, PCA Packaging Corporation of America
in Grafton,
in Milwaukee.
Oh, in Milwaukee.
Good Hope Road.
Okay, so you got a little bit of a commute there. Not bad.
Yeah, about half an hour from my house.
Not too bad. Not too bad most days. You're gonna play the What Do You Know quiz. Are you familiar with it, Steve?
Oh yeah. I've heard it before.
Oh, yeah? So you think I could do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Give it a shot? Okay, you feel good. He feels good about it, and I feel good about Steve, and someone out there gets to play along with you. And how does that work, then?
Yeah, people at home who want to play the quiz, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Oh, God, no one's going to get that. Oh, well. All right, here we go anyhow. How many gallons of gas can you get for $10 U.S. in Venezuela? Oh, boy, it's going to be... Someone out there has to answer this. Steve, okay. You don't have to do this, so you're in luck here.
All right.
How many gallons of gas can you get for $10 in Venezuela? Here we can get, what, about three? Huh? For $10? About 3 gallons, right? Venezuela, it's considerably higher. I would definitely think higher if you're going to answer this question. How many gallons of gas can you get for $10 in Venezuela? And I'll tell you this much, it's a lot of gas. Okay. It's a gas, as the Rolling Stones might say. Let's go to Jesse now. Phones are ringing off the hook, I'm telling you. It's Jesse from Vinton, Virginia. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, about time I got you.
It is about time.
Yeah, I've been calling for about 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah. Stubborn, aren't I?
What do you got, speed dial there, or will you just keep punching it?
No, I just got your number on my cell phone.
You do? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it something important?
Important? No, I want to play the quiz.
Oh, you want to play the quiz? Well, have you been to Venezuela? That would help.
No.
Okay.
Have not.
Okay, so the question, did you hear the question?
No, I did not, because I had to turn off the radio.
Okay, all right. You've been through a lot, Jesse. You deserve this, I feel like. But let's see if we can get this. How many gallons of gas can you get for $10 U.S. in Venezuela?
$10?
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you this much. It's in the hundreds.
Oh, really? Wow, I'm over there.
Yeah. It's in the 200s, I'll tell you that.
200?
It's in the 230s, I'll tell you that.
Well, then, 232.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 238. Okay, I guess we can give it to you. All right, Jesse, because you've been through a lot in 8 years. Working your fingers to the bone, just dialing. How's the weather there in Vinton, Virginia?
Well, cloudy today. We're getting a lot of rain lately.
Yeah. What you doing this weekend? Any plans for today or coming up?
Well, they have a festival, fall festival downtown Vinton over there.
Oh.
I take Tai Chi classes, and my instructor was doing demonstration, so I wanted to see that.
Oh, yeah. Did you do that for the festival, a little Tai Chi?
No, he's my instructor, but he was doing a demonstration, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jesse, this is Steve here.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Steve.
He's
How
from
are you?
Grafton. Okay.
Doing all
you guys
right.
Talk. That's cool.
How you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing great. Have yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good.
I went to school in Milwaukee.
Oh, did you really? Yeah. UWM?
No.
Huh.
Well, the Jesuit school, I think, is the name of it. Remember now. The Jesuit school.
Marquette?
Yeah.
Okay, anyhow, I guess you didn't stick with it. Okay, anyhow, we got two of you worked as a team together, Jesse and Steve, and we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Dominican, Marquette. Yes, Jesse, go ahead.
Oh, okay,
I'm sorry. Here we go. What would you like?
Talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, because school, things I could have learned or something.
All right. What with the Palins and the news and everything, here's a word that's worth reviving. What is a Donnybrook? A Donnybrook. Talking over now. You don't know, see?
You ever hear of one, Jesse?
Palins, Donnybrook, Jesse? A Donnybrook.
Yeah. I want to see what the other guy says.
I never heard of it.
He said he never heard of it. You want to say that too?
Sounds Irish.
I don't know. I pretty much did mention the Palins, but I always call time on this. It's a brawl, a Donnybrook.
Well, they had one a few days ago.
Guess it's not coming back. Okay, so that would be?
One wrong, sadly.
Okay. All right. Let's see what's left then.
Current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Steve?
Current events.
There we go. Make up for that. We can do it. Oh, no. Kim Yo Jong is a name on everyone's lips these days. Why? In the news right now? Because she's, I'll tell you this much, she's somebody's sister.
I thought he was the head of North Korea.
You're saying that she's the sister of someone who
could be his
Kim
sister.
Jong-un? Jong-un?
Sure.
And that Kim Yo Jong is his sister?
Sure.
And possibly ruling North Korea in his absence?
Yeah.
Jesse?
Sounds good.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Let's go with that. Hey. Okay, all right.
Hey, way to go.
That's one right and one wrong, and the categories left are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
All right, get this one right, you pretty much win this abbreviated version of the What Do You Know quiz. So back to Jesse, what would you like?
Places, I think.
Places, okay. Okay, while Wisconsin barely cracks the top 10, which state has absolutely the most immature men?
Oh, God.
We're number 10 in immature men in Wisconsin. I'm proud of it, frankly. What is the most, the state with the most immature men? Is it North Dakota, Kentucky, or Rhode Island? Most immature men based on joblessness, beer pong.
Beer what?
Beer pong, playing beer pong, watching Family Guy and porno, and being involved in fantasy football.
What's
North Dakota, Kentucky, or Rhode Island? Surprisingly.
Kentucky, Rhode Island. Okay.
Surprisingly, Rhode Island there. Yeah, that surprised me.
Okay.
See Rhode Island on there. Anyone here from Rhode Island? And how mature
sure,
are you? If you're,
yeah.
Okay. North Dakota, Kentucky, or Rhode Island?
Could be Rhode Island.
You're thinking Rhode Island?
I'm thinking Rhode Island.
Have you? And have you found the men to be immature there?
Not really.
Not necessarily, no?
I ain't never been there, so I don't know.
Okay. You want to go with that Rhode Island then, Jesse? Are you thinking, feeling good about it?
Sure, why not? Let's
Rhode
do it.
Island is right. Hey. Unbelievable.
Big Flops or Darkest Energy, just a few chapter titles in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. Jesse, begin every morning the way our What Do You Know audience does by drinking Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee and while away your afternoons with rich and smooth Costa Rican Tarasu from Madison Stephen Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right. And each of you can go incognito with a bendable synthetic hair mustache that attaches to your nose with a soft rubber clip from Archie McPhee and cultivate your intellect playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including questions, cards, audience, and the always popular Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at NotMuch.com.
There you go, Steve.
Thank
nice
you,
to
sir.
Meet you.
Appreciate it.
Congratulations. Jesse, hang on for a second. Make sure you get
my
that.
Son,
thanks
right?
for playing. Yeah. Oh, you're done. You're done here.
What Do You Know returns to Monona Terrace next week. That's December 6th. And don't forget our holiday office party broadcast is Saturday, December 20th. For all upcoming ticket and guest information, just go to notmuch.com. Coming up in the next hour of What Do You Know, we get medieval on our Oklahoma Town of the Week, plus another round of the hilarious What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we chat with an Okie from Muskogee in our town of the week. Plus, thanks for the memos and another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who had an electric car for years, but it would only go 50 feet or so, what, with the cord, it's Michael Feldman.
Yes, sirree. My dad had an electric car in the 20s sometime, and he said it was a piece of junk. So I don't care about this Tesla.
Did he really?
This Tesla, yeah.
Wow.
Well,
they were very big, you know.
I always think of like electric cars as little tiny things for children.
No, they had like Model Ts that were electrified, basically.
But you know, I just heard on the radio this morning the problem with electric cars is range anxiety.
Oh, yes. That makes sense.
I get that.
But Tesla and another company in Michigan in the next 2 years is supposed to be coming with like big technological breakthroughs on the battery to reduce that range anxiety.
And Xanax dispensers in the console, I think.
Yeah, that helps too.
Okay, you too. Anyhow, now all the news that is. We have time now for all the news that is around here pretty much. And this is actual, because that isn't, we did already. That was. And this is what is here. Now, let's see here in Wisconsin. I just mentioned this. Wisconsin men rank in top 10 for immaturity. And this is a feather in our cap as far as we're concerned. And once again, this is based on having no job or the unemployment rate. Fantasy football enthusiasm, beer pong enthusiasm, video game enthusiasm, enthusiasm for watching The Family Guy, and porn viewership, okay, to a lesser extent. And so we came into number 10. Once again, though, that's just breaking into the... who was ahead of us there? I don't know. Doesn't matter. The other thing going on here in Wisconsin, big thing, the young bull moose drawing a crowd in western Wisconsin. Yep. In Dunn County. Any of you from Dunn County here? They don't get a lot of bull... What's the plural of bull moose?
Bull's moose?
They don't get a lot of bull's moose down there in... there, in Dunn. Eau Claire County's around there. Eau Claire, we got something from Eau Claire, right? Yeah, look around when you get home. There's a little bull moose out there. Okay. Before the deer hunting season, DNR warned hunters to be wary of their target and not to mistake a moose for a white-tailed deer. Or also a Dalmatian, you know. You got to warn these guys about everything. The Dairy Queen data breach hit Wisconsin. I'll give you the stories that hit. The Dairy Queen on Fish Hatchery Road in Seymour, Wisconsin, home of the hamburger. And Marshfield, home of the clinic. So those three, but there's one on University Avenue you can go to without fear. So if you're looking for a Dairy Queen, I would head to that one. The guy for 50 years who's been driving a car from American Motors in Kenosha there, his dad made the car. And now they still have it 50 years later, and that's big news in Kenosha, not so much here. The gas light building in Milwaukee is for sale. We have Milwaukeeans here. That's the building downtown there you see, where the bulb on top changes according to what the weather is, and no one can remember what it means. Drives you crazy when you're a kid. And there was a thing you can memorize. It said, when the flame is gold, watch out for cold. When the flame is blue, there's no change in view. See, now, for me, that doesn't make any sense at all. Cold is warm, right? Gold is warm, because that's like sun, gold. And blue is like... hot, like.
Really? Blue's cold.
Well, see, I have this problem now. You know, in cars where they give you a switch there to the temperature stuff, because I have a problem with blue and red. For me, they're both hot.
Oh, like a blue gas.
Like a blue flame. A blue flame.
Well, that's true. Gas flame is blue.
Yeah, I mean, and it may just be, you know, my brain, such as it is, but I always have a problem. Anyhow, so that's just part of it. When there's agitation, expect precipitation. Agitation. When the flame is red, it's warm weather ahead. When the flame is gold, watch out for cold. The flame is blue, there's no change in view. When there's a flickering flame, expect snow or rain. Who can remember that? So I would like to buy this building, just do random colors, is what I'm saying. Like psychedelic, you know, for my generation. Talk about my generation.
When it's periwinkle, it's...
Yeah, it is for sale, anyway. And just this last thing here, just because I like the headline from the Milwaukee Journal, the heating costs could drop by about 26% if winter is warmer. Okay, that's all the news that is from around here. And then it's a dream of a headline. And someone sent this in. I think it's from Boulder. Isn't that the Daily Record? No, in Washington. Oh, it's in, what? In the heart of Washington, dailyrecordnews.com. Where is that? Anyone know? It's in the state of Washington?
Walla Walla.
Walla Walla? Is it?
No, I don't know. Could be.
Okay. They just sent in, basically, this is the police blotter. Some newspapers have funny news. You know, some of the police reports are funny in some places. Ours is not particularly funny. Some places, they just have, like, funny criminals or something. Like, you know, here's the police report here. An ex-girlfriend reportedly posted explicit pictures of a Rosalind caller on the internet. That's not funny. A caller on 15th Avenue reported he wanted to carry his prescription drugs to an event, but he had too many to carry, each in their own bottles, and wanted to know if he could consolidate them with a doctor's note. That's, I don't know, that's kind of sad. A teenage boy reportedly made a rude gesture at a caller on Pearl Street. Three men on a raft, wearing masks and carrying fishing poles in the Yakima River near Chipota Lane near Clallam, reportedly bounced off rocks and seemed suspicious. A drunken man inside a business on University Way reportedly kept falling down. A shirtless man reportedly pounded on a caller's door on Joanna Place saying he needed assistance before running onto Water Street. Two goats reportedly got out near a caller's home at Hungry Junction Road and Saddle Rock Drive, and she was concerned they might eat her garden. Someone reportedly blew leaves into the roadway at Ruby Street and Manitoba Avenue.
Oh, boy.
A drunken woman in her late 50s wearing spandex.
That's enough.
That's no way to begin a sentence. That is
more.
Really... They don't mention what the men are wearing. Don't you find that offensive? I find it very offensive. Reportedly crashed into things as she walked around a business on Mountain View Avenue. I don't get that one at all. That should even be in there. A man parked in a disabled spot reportedly yelled inappropriate comments at passing women and children. Well, he was disabled. Come on. Okay. Well, thank you for that, I guess, Karen. Oh, and here, this is also something, I don't know what this is. Where is that thing I had here someplace? Oh, yeah, here it is. Greetings. My husband was cleaning out an old desk in a lab and found this gem. Once you get past all the fragmented sentences, you'll see why the hotel spa at San Jose Perua's travel booklet sent some mixed messages. Enjoy perusing. Nicole McKinley, who's in DeKalb, Illinois. And she's been at KMU in College Station, Texas. So she gets around, besides... Perua, Hotel Spa, San Jose, Perua. It says, Mexico is being rediscovered. Wonderful country, owner of uncountable richness and unlimited possibilities. With the fall of the Indian empires, which were substituted by the Spanish crown 400 years ago, a lot of exact information and data about the Mexican richness was lost. Okay. Among the wonders we could count are the thermal springs of high radioactivity. Effects of the health resort of San Jose, Perua, found in the state of and close to the town of and the sanctuary of the monarch butterflies. Tradition. The Indians thought they prolonged youth and called it the place of eternal youth. Witchcraft was used at that time, so were the resin and the peyote. Oh, they used the resin and the peyote. All hallucinogen herbs and the strange Natui writes, therefore, the true effects they had will never be known. We can't simulate them, though, however. And I guess the big traction here is the radioactive waters. It is surely the combination of its chemical elements and its radioactivity that give place to these medicinal effects. But why? Einstein's theory reveals that there is a balance between material and energy. Okay, I'm with you so far. Material energy that were adjusted before and that become equivalent afterwards, nature has established one only bridge for this. The radium, which was separated by the Curie, was found to have as a characteristic that when it is being disintegrated, it frees energy. That is why we acquire from the waters of the San Jose Perua, which have radium. The natural nuclear disintegration give way to the natural ones and the cyclotron and atomila batteries. Okay, well, thank you very much. I hope to visit that hotel. Thank you. You're too kind. You're too kind. Keep it up. These are actual memos sent by actual listeners. It's time for thanks for the memos. And here we go. This one reads as follows. Molly, on Tuesday, August 24th, I was on the internet looking up addresses and zip codes. I also had Word and Outlook open. I had two calls come in at once. I answered one and tried to put it on hold, and it would not respond. I usually put the first one on hold by answering the second call. This did not work, and the hold button was not active. The second caller must have hung up and called back as she was showing us caller two, which was now on hold, and caller number three incoming. I answered the third call, and that put caller number one on hold. It would not let me answer the fourth or fifth callers, and they hung up. Caller number three, who was also caller number two on hold, wanted to go to voicemail, and the voicemail button was also inactive. Caller number three said she'd try later and hung up, but she was still showing up as caller number two on hold. I could not get caller number one or two off of hold. I shut down the internet, which took a while, and when I double-clicked on call number two, it was finally released from hold, and caller number one was on the line. If I remember correctly, all the buttons on the bottom of the screen are inactive during all of this. Mary. Thank you very much, Mary. I don't know if they can do anything about that. Can they?
Sounds irreparable.
Yeah, sounds irreparable. And where can people send memos or...
They can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Yeah, okay. And then also, if you're into the whole Twitter thing, I'm at myfeldman on the Twitters, if you want to check that out. If not, just ignore that message. Well, you know, each week at this time, and some weeks not at all, but this week for sure, we honor a town, a village, a burg, somewhere in the U.S. on a rearranged map of the same. With our town of the week here is Sarah Nix.
Muskogee, Oklahoma is the seat of Muskogee County, about 2 hours east of Oklahoma City. French fur traders set up a camp in the area in the early 1800s, but the first permanent settlement went in around 1817. The town was built in a region known as Three Forks after the Arkansas, Verdigris, and Neosho rivers that meet there. In the 1830s, when Native American people were forced from their traditional lands in the southeastern United States, many Cree people settled in this eastern part of Oklahoma. The town became the capital of Indian State. Muskogee was first incorporated after the railroad came through, like so many of them are, in 1872. The three rivers meant the surrounding land was fertile, and Muskogee was a farm and ranch town. These days, about 38,000 people live there. It's home to Northeastern State University, Connor State College, Indian Capital Technological Center, and Bacone College. There's a thriving local cultural scene with the Muskogee Little Theater, the Oklahoma Music Hall of Fame, and the Five Civilized Tribes Museum. They're all worth a stop if you're visiting Muskogee, but if sports are more your thing, maybe you can catch a game between the Northeastern Riverhawks and the Bascone Warriors. And that's our town of the week, Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Muskogee, as in the song. Was he from Muskogee? Anyone know that? Let's find out. Maybe Jeff knows. He's on the line here from Muskogee, Oklahoma. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing fine, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to talk with you. Did you hear that description? Was there anything egregiously wrong in that description?
No, it sounded spot on to me.
Spot actually. On? Were you born in Muskogee or nearby?
Not really, but I came here when I was 2 months old. So, yeah, I'm an Okie from Muskogee.
That was pretty audacious of you, coming there when you're 2 years old. 2 months old or 2 years?
2 months.
2 months.
I think I was carried, yes.
Okay, that, you crawled a long way. Where'd you crawl from?
New York City.
Whoa, that's quite a crawl. So, all right, so your parents came from New York to Muskogee. How did that work out? How did that happen?
Well, my dad was working for the Veterans Administration. And he got tired of the people in New York being too many and said, reassign me to the first town under 50,000.
No kidding. Well, that's so cool.
That's why I'm here.
Was he happy with his decision over the years?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And you kids, too. So you got the benefit of an upbringing there in Muskogee. Is that a good place to be a kid growing up?
Actually, it is.
Yeah.
It is. We have a lot of outdoor activities. There's we're close enough to Tulsa to get some culture, and Oklahoma City, other places. So it works. Yeah, it works well.
Like what? As a kid, what did you do? Was it idyllic? Did you fish in just
a
bent nail and a worm and all that kind of thing?
Went hunting, played football, you know, went to the drive-in, of course, and did typical small-town stuff.
Yeah, it
was great.
Which drive-in did you go to, of course?
There was the Sunset Drive-In and one called 64,
Which one was the one to go to?
Either one.
Really?
They're both great.
You did well? You did well at both drive-ins?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I did.
And then, so did you play for the Riverhawks or the Warriors?
No, I was playing for the Muskogee Ruffers.
The Ruffers?
Which is the high school football team.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't go to college here.
Yeah. Okay, and so the Ruffers, was that Muskogee High School itself?
That's correct.
Yeah. And what did you play for the Ruffers?
Played tight end.
Tight end, yeah. And were you? No, I don't want to. That's a stupid question. Did you have a good year? Good years there?
Yeah. Actually, we did. Undefeated.
Yeah.
We did well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Undefeated?
Yeah.
So you went all the way to state?
Actually, we didn't have a state contest at that time.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Now they do.
Yeah. Should have been, could have been, would have been.
Yes.
Undefeated. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did some of your guys go on to higher things in football?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Several of us played in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you play in college?
Yes.
Oh, you were a tight end in college. Jeff Hiller. Who'd you play for?
Actually, I played for a very small school called Earlham College.
Earlham.
The Earlham Quakers.
Earlham Quakers. That stirs fear in the heart to hear the Quakers are coming to town.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange concept, but actually we did very well there, too.
You had a good team? What was your record with the Quakers?
Well, 1 year that I played, we were undefeated. The next year, we lost one.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you went on to state then, huh?
no, but
with
we
the Quakers?
Actually played.
Quaker State?
We did play a... I love that. we did go on to a bowl game called the Hanukkah Bowl.
Quakers in Hanukkah Bowl. I can see the headline. You don't have that headline. If you have that headline, send it to me, would you?
I don't think. We probably tried to forget about it.
Oh, man. Well, who did you play in the Hanukkah Bowl?
It was a small school in North Carolina.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure the name of it.
Yeah. And why was it the Hanukkah Bowl?
I do not know. I still don't know.
I got to get to the bottom of that one. The Hanukkah Bowl. And that was played where?
That was in Tennessee.
That's natural.
So that's,
what you'd expect.
A totally bizarre concept.
The Quakers are in the Hanukkah Bowl in Tennessee. I'm going to look that up because that's too good to not to try to figure out. And Jeff, what are you doing these days in Muskogee?
Actually, I own a castle and a medieval village.
No kidding. Did you ever think when you were a kid that someday you would own a castle?
No, I did not.
And a medieval village at the same time?
Yeah, it's quite a tourist attraction.
Yeah, what's it called?
It's called the Castle of Muskogee.
I would have called it that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It fits. And
now
we have...
go ahead.
We have over 100 structures that looks like a medieval village and big...
Kidding.
37,000 square foot castle.
Holy cow.
And right now we're doing a Halloween festival.
I bet. That'd be great to go to the castle for Halloween. That'd be terrific.
Yeah. Got a castle, you got to haunt it for October.
Oh my God, that could terrify kids to death. Probably some. I don't know if I'd send my kid there. That'd be really scary.
Actually, we do have 10 different events, so there's things for kids also.
Yeah.
There's
a variety
of things.
Okay. So you're speaking of adults. This is for adults go for Halloween?
Yeah, okay. Adults, kids, families. It's a whole village atmosphere with about 30 street characters that interact with people. And
oh no, not street characters. We got those around here.
These are fun though.
Oh, okay. They don't ask you for money and stuff.
No.
Okay.
Something like that.
So, all right. Now, how did you build this castle, or did you just see an opportunity here? You built it.
Uh huh.
What were you thinking? Jeff?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it.
How did you get the idea?
It worked out.
How'd you get the idea?
Well, history has always been a favorite of mine, and I've traveled a lot in my life. And everybody wants a castle, I guess. I don't know. Just
I'm afraid that doesn't
have the opportunity.
That doesn't explain it, Jeff. Really, come on.
No, it doesn't really. I don't. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But it has worked out. I had bought an old lodge, a great big lodge, and then I started remodeling it, and it ended up being a castle.
All right, that makes sense now.
Yeah, it still doesn't make a lot of sense, but but it has worked. We get about a half a million people a year that come here for various events. And in a town like Muskogee, that's a pretty good draw.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And and what else do you have in your medieval village then? You're like, what? I don't know what that would entail exactly.
Well, it has like an old water mill, you know, water wheel with mill, and a lot of different buildings that are that I've copied out of places in Germany and northern England. And an Italian, it has a whole Italian section.
It does.
Yeah, and then there's 15 stages. So there can be entertainment. Yeah. It's good.
Wow. It is good to be in Okie in Muskogee.
Yeah,
huh?
It is. It really
to be
is.
The king of this castle, especially. Well, that's absolutely amazing.
I hire a king, however.
Yeah. You do, you do.
That part.
No, you don't do that. I bet in the beginning you did, though, did you?
No. No, actually, I didn't.
You're resistant.
I knew my acting skills were very limited, so.
Yeah. Are you a married guy, Jeff?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Was this a tough sell to the wife saying, honey, I'm going to build a castle in a medieval village?
No. No, not really.
You married the right woman.
I did.
You did?
I really did, yes.
That's the secret.
No, she loves it.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's really something good. We learned something really important here, that the castle is the place to go in Muskogee, Oklahoma. And are you usually there, Jeff? Can people say hello to you if they stop by at the castle?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll dress up. I'll be dressed up tonight when we do our Halloween thing.
What are you dressed as?
Well, last night I was a sheriff, and I'll probably be a pirate tonight, or possibly an embalmer. Could be, you know, could be any number of things.
The world is your oyster, Jeff Heller, Muskogee, Oklahoma. Thanks so much for talking to us. We have a little something for you for being so kind.
We do, Jeff. We'll be sending you the golden glory of the Badger State in an assortment of natural, organic, handcrafted cheeses from Southwest Wisconsin's Cedar Grove Cheese.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Jeff Heller of Muskogee, Oklahoma, our town of the week. Okay, you want to grab that?
Yeah,
grab that dart.
Somebody
want
to throw the dart
and see if we can get someone to do this.
Yes.
This.
That is a young person who is very excited.
He definitely was waiting for this moment. He's been itching to. No, Jeff's got it. Got to get the microphone from Jeff, and the dart
you.
We got here.
Oh, you came all by yourself. All right.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm Liam.
You're Liam. How old are you?
I'm 9.
Are you going to school?
Yeah.
Where are you going to school?
Cumberland.
I don't know where Cumberland is. You
Cumberland, Wisconsin?
Yeah, Whitefish Bay.
In Whitefish Bay, yeah.
Do you have some dart throwing experience? Perfect.
Yeah. You've never thrown a dart?
Okay, so here you go.
You have thrown one, but not never hit anything, right? Okay.
Okay, we may want to come closer.
No,
he's good. You got it. Just let. Oh, yeah! Texas looks like.
We got College Station, Texas. Thank you.
Treasury of word games there. That's what you win for throwing that dart. He didn't care about that. Yeah, this moment. Okay. How are you guys doing then there?
Good.
Well, you got a
Hanukkah Bowl.
Hanukkah Bowl.
Yeah.
In Tennessee.
Well.
With the Quakers in it.
There's
that up. I'm going to Google that immediately. When
Hanukkah Bowl in Israel. There's like a semi-pro league over there sponsored by the Kraft family who own the
Cheese?
Patriots.
Oh, the
Patriots.
That
and they have a Hanukkah Bowl, but that's not in Tennessee, so I don't know.
That does not explain it.
I know.
Or why he would build a castle later in life, really.
I just Googled
there's
it.
A lot of more questions than answers in that whole thing. Interesting.
It's a mystery.
Yeah. Anything you need to promote? Anyone? Is Jeff going to be somewhere?
Oh, I don't think so. Yeah, he is, but not unpromotable. Yeah.
Not can't promote it? You don't want to talk about it?
Unpromotable.
No? Private? The private thing?
Unactionable.
The private thing?
Private.
Playing in a boudoir or something? One of each? I don't know what that means in this case. Anyhow, go
sure.
ahead. What's this tune going
to
be?
This is a tune I wrote, and I have to be very careful with the title, but because the words are powerful.
Yes.
It's called Funk Me Twice.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Honeycrisp. But the Honeycrisps are so big now. You notice how they're gargantuan. What are they crossing them with? Have you noticed how large the Honeycrisp apples have gotten? Yes, you have?
Oh, yeah. Pay $3-4 for one.
It's ridiculous. Why do they get so, genetically, are they breeding themselves to get larger and larger?
They have to be.
Yeah. I don't suppose they breed themselves, though. What do they cross? I mean, they're a cross or something, aren't they?
Yeah, honey and a crisp.
Honey and a crisp. Okay. Yeah, nothing from you guys. Should I host a radio show? Oh, should hosting a radio show be the best way for me to get rich, or should I go to high school? Hope Glasser, Lake Mills. I think they left.
Yeah,
they left.
Right where you
okay.
were.
There's your card. You answer it. Do you know of a pill for talk radio intolerance? Oh, Joshua Ettinger of New Auburn, Wisconsin. Where is he? Oh, he's right. Isn't that convenient? Can you stand up here? Come on. They call you Josh?
Joshua.
Joshua, okay. You never use just the Josh, huh?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Among certain people?
Amongst friends, yes.
Not others. Okay. And your handyman in home repair, you don't like talk radio?
I love talk radio.
Oh.
The pill would be for my wife.
Oh, the pill is for your wife? Because she hates it. Like, who do you listen to?
You.
Okay, this is called small talk radio, though.
I listen to a lot of Saturday morning public radio. So.
Oh, you do? Okay, so now you don't do the heavy hitters, though, like Rush and...
No. No, mostly just Wisconsin Public Radio. Yeah.
And your wife pretty much can't tolerate me at all.
No, she prefers music.
Yeah. What's?
I listen to people talk all day, and I just want music and no one talking, quiet. Okay. You know.
No, I understand that.
It's a nice day off for me. Yeah.
Who are the people who are talking to you all day? Are they in your head or?
No. No, I take care of people from the time I get up to the time I go to bed. So, yeah. It's just.
You're not taking care of me. You don't hear me talking all day.
No, but, yeah.
It's pleasant for us to be talking now, isn't it?
Yes. I'm on vacation, though.
All right. And your name is?
Jessica.
Jessica and Joshua.
Yes.
Nice to meet you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Can't do anything about it. I divide a lot of couples. I had one guy tell me one time, he said his wife couldn't stand me, so he had to go up in the attic, pretend he was insulating. Listen to the radio up there. Otherwise, I think he might have still been doing the insulating. It's possible. But so, what can you do? Let's see here. How do you feel about living on glacial till? I feel a little shaky about it. I always feel like it could come back. Just because it retreated doesn't mean it won't come back. You know, the big, it was the Wisconsin era, Wisconsin age or something they called it, you know. So we are in Wisconsin. So that's. That's why Illinois is flat, actually, because Wisconsin came down over it, as they will today, by the way, in the football game. Yeah! Anyone got a score? Who's listening? Who's listening to the game? Who's listening to the game? Anyone? Come on, someone. What's the score?
It was 7-7 last time.
7-7 last you listened?
Yeah, last time.
How long ago was that?
5 minutes ago.
Okay, 5 minutes ago. What are you listening on? Your dentures or what? Yeah, on your phone?
My secret radio.
Okay, you got one of them secret radios. Used to have those in school, remember that? You put the radio inside your book or something like that, and you run the thing up your sleeve, right? And you just keep your collar buttoned up and stick it right in your ear there. That was a little obvious by the time it got stuck in your ear, of course, but glacial till. What's the history of cheese curds, Marilyn? Where's Marilyn Parrish? She's an archivist and librarian. And the history of cheese curds, you must have run into that in the library. Does it seem exotic to you?
No.
Excuse me, I'm just going to slip right in here and find out. Yes, yeah, just stand up if you would, please, and then I can reach you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
We're from Pennsylvania, and we don't have as many cheese curds around as we've run into here.
You got head cheese, though. I mean, that's how a scrapple and all. You know, I mean, that's pretty weird. That's stranger than cheese curds.
Yeah, it is. But I wondered what the attraction was for cheese curds for people who love it.
The attraction between cheese curds, or I think it becomes cheese at a certain point, if that's what you mean. Why people love it?
Yeah. Why do people love it?
It's pure cheese. It's pure cheese. You know, I'm sure that Jim Gaffigan would have more to say on this, but it's like pure distilled cheese.
So do people like...
In a bite.
Do people like them better fried or just plain?
Well, they're good either way. How many of you say fried? Applaud if you... No, you got to applaud. Fried, regular, and squeaky. See, either way.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. I don't understand why they seem exact other people, though, you know, other places.
Yeah, it's just everyone's very enthusiastic about them here.
So. You got to make curds to get cheese, you know. So everyone has, at least at some point, some stage in the process, has cheese curds in their state. Yeah, when they get compressed together, then you get your, you've got them there. You just got to stop them from completing the cheese.
All right, thanks.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Glad to help. Tom Wrights, who's a dentist in Edgerton, Wisconsin, asks me to name the band that has been around for 47 years, just played in Albany, New York, and was famous for the song 21st Century Schizoid Man. You know it?
No.
No. Jeff doesn't know it, our bass player. Anyone know that answer?
King Crimson?
Yes. ELP. Who? Emerson, Lake, and Palmer?
No, it is King Crimson.
King Crimson.
I said it.
Yeah, John got it. Where's our dentist? Where's the dentist? Oh, he's way over there. King Crimson. Wow.
I'm not positive that's right, but...
Yeah. Well, I'm sure our friend is. Did you listen to King Crimson?
Yeah.
You did? What was your favorite song of theirs? Schizoid?
I don't remember.
Where is our friend here, Tom?
A lot going
Tom?
On those days.
Is that Tom? No. How did you know that then?
A friend of mine likes the band. Yeah. He put one of their songs up on social media, and I listened to it. And I remember it had really weird psychedelic art on the page, which was fitting.
Okay. So you deny being a dentist in Edgerton then?
So far.
Anyone here admit to being a dentist in Edgerton, Wisconsin? I'll tell you, we're losing them right and left here. Well, thank you, though. That was nice. King Crimson. Why don't more people have pet rats? Yeah, really. I have no. Where are the McFarlands from Madison? Or the Madisons from McFarland? That's the case, maybe. Okay, yes, hi. We don't quite understand your question.
Well, we sort of like you being openly Jewish and Jim being open Catholic. We're open rat lovers now. And we
How did that all start? Was there one rat in particular that started you off?
It was my mother-in-law recommending it. She had taken care of some pet rats across the street, and our son had wanted a pet, and we don't spend enough time at home to get a dog and take good care of it, so we said, no, no pets. But she said, no, these rats are great. And
they take care of themselves pretty much.
Yeah, if you have two of them or more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I looked up on the internet why you'd want a pet rat, and the more I read about it, it was really obvious that people loved them if they had them. So one day we went out, bought a couple at PetSmart, and now you
have how many?
We still have two, but there are two new ones. All right, we lost our other two. That's the only thing they...
You say you lost them? Did they actually leave the home? And
no, they died. They don't live very long.
Yeah. And you're all in favor of these rats?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, are they affectionate?
Wait, what?
Are they affectionate? Are they nice?
Yes.
Can you pet a rat, and does a rat recognize you when you walk into the room? Can you call a rat by name?
Yes.
Yes.
What do you call your rat by name?
Either Spike or Bolt.
Spike or Bolt? And if you call Spike, Spike will come over and nibble at your feet or something?
Practically, yes.
Yes.
Wonderful.
We can call them when it's time to go back into the cage. Yeah. We just call their name, and they run, you know, and follow down the stairs and get in their cage and give them a treat.
So you're saying these rats are actually roaming your... You see, I have a little problem with this, because we had these Norwegian rats that got off the ship in the Great Lake, you know, whatever, in Milwaukee, and they were the size of dachshunds. These are long and gray and scary looking.
They're tiny and cute.
What?
They're tiny and very cute.
Maybe they were at one time, but the time they got to Milwaukee after that trip on the St. Lawrence, they were huge and scary looking. So that's when I think red, that's what I think of.
No, see, that's what people think of. And no, they're cute and trainable and lovable. And,
and they run around the house. Don't they leave little pellets everywhere?
Sometimes, yes. But we
have something that eats pellets, eats rat pellets?
The vacuum cleaner.
You get a mongoose or something that would eat the... I don't. Thank you very much. That's Jennifer and John McFarland and their son. Their son is?
He's John. John.
Hey, John. Oh, and you're John? And John. He's John. Jeff and John. Okay. Okay. There's one vote for rats. Three votes for rats. Emergency, how do I get a Lego out of my nose? Liam. Liam? Is there a Liam? Oh, Liam, who threw the dart. Okay, wait a second. This is Liam who threw the dart earlier, so he's kind of the star of this show today. Stand up again, Liam. And you had a Lego where?
In my nose.
How did it get there, Liam?
Well, my friend Peter hit me in the face, but there was a Lego stuck to his hand, and then it came up in my nose.
So he was hitting you in the face, as usual. But on this particular occasion, he had a Lego in his...
Stuck to his hand, somehow.
How could a Lego be sticking to his hand, unless he was a Lego himself?
I don't know, but they get stuck to our hands a lot.
Oh, they do. So the palm of his hand?
Yeah.
And then so he went, gave you a thing like that to the face?
And then it went up my nose.
And you don't have a very large nose. How is that even possible, physically possible?
It was like one of those little small pegs, and I got stuck in my nose, and I had to, and yeah.
And what'd you have to do? Did you have to go to the Lego doctor to have it removed?
No, I used a tissue to get it out.
Okay, well, it's trauma, but are you still able to enjoy Legos after a traumatic experience?
Yes.
Very cool. Okay, well, thanks for sharing that. Oh, okay. Anyone out there? He's 9 years old. He's from Milwaukee. Nice to meet you again, Liam. Oh, okay. He's been pretty much, most of the show has been Liam's today, so I feel like we should pay him at least scale for doing this. We have to know who can and cannot participate in the What Do You Know quiz by law. And we have someone who's willing to do that for the course. I mean, the four disclaimers, so this tells us who can and cannot play the quiz legally. You should stand up. And you are?
I'm Teresa.
And are you from here, Teresa, or there?
I'm from here. Okay. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, where's Chief Illiniwek? Illiniwek?
Yeah.
Okay.
Illinois.
That was a joke, people. You're supposed to laugh now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Thank you very much. You can keep that if you want to have that. And work on the pronunciation. Illiniwek, I think. They don't use him anymore. He's out. Okay, let's see. What's the score? Any score update?
14-7 in the first quarter.
Who?
Illinois.
No! 14-7 Illinois. Just the first quarter, though. Don't panic. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. And I would have to... Well, this gentleman back here, he's got just something quiet. He's got quiet grace about him. And a certain je ne sais quoi and a savoir faire. Did you know you had all that?
No, sir.
Yeah, which of those do you have, that's for sure?
I guess a je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi. How do you account for that?
I guess it was just born into me.
Born into you, okay. And where was it born into you? Where?
Oh, in Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana. And your name is?
Joe Tosterud.
Joe Tosterud.
I'm a lone Norwegian there.
You're the only Norwegian in Louisiana.
In my neck of the woods, at least. In my neck of the woods, at least.
Is it hard to get a good lefse in Louisiana?
Oh, they don't even know what it is.
Okay. Very good. Tell them. Joe, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Well, I drove all the way from Louisiana to Madison in a couple of days.
Holy cow! What a crazy, crazy guy. All right. Come on, the only Norwegian in Louisiana we have right here on the What Do You Know stage, ladies and gentlemen. So right now there's no Norwegians in Louisiana. Good Joe here. So how'd you end up there, Joe?
Well, I was born there. My dad is a refugee from Wisconsin. He lived in Westby and didn't like the weather and met my mother during the war and stayed there.
No kidding. Well, that's a good story. I like that. So you don't, coming back to Wisconsin, do you make a pilgrimage every so often?
Not too often, no.
No. And do you still have family in the area, though?
I guess.
But you have certain innate cravings as a Norwegian individual.
Oh, yeah. I can eat fish anytime, you know, not like the other people here.
Yeah, yeah. But you grew up there, so how do you
explain
that?
I grew up in the South, you know, in the sunny South.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, it's in you, you know.
Did your parents import? I know it's like almost like if a Jewish family down there would have to somehow fly in matzah and so forth.
No, they never had anything like that. My mother was a German, so she did all the sauerkraut and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, interesting.
My dad just blended in with the flow.
Yeah. And what did your dad do down there?
Oh, he was a carpenter.
A carpenter. And you yourself?
I'm a lawyer.
You're a lawyer, huh? So yeah. Things go from good to worse.
Yeah, good to worse. The
longer you stay there.
Yeah.
What kind of law do you do, John?
Oh, I'm a prosecuting attorney.
You are?
Yeah.
You seem like such a nice guy.
I am.
Oh, God, that means...
40 years worth.
You're probably deadly then in a courtroom, right? Nice guy is prosecuting you, you'd lose.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I won some, lost some.
Want to give me a percentage or not? That'd be like bragging, huh? Pretty
yeah,
good,
I'd be
though,
bragging,
huh?
Yeah.
Pretty good, huh? Hall of Fame.
Good enough, yeah. No, not Hall of Fame, no.
What's that job like? Isn't that pretty demanding and stressful? Or don't you find it that way?
I guess for some reason it didn't really bother me. It never did. You know, yeah. I was even in New Orleans with all the horrible stuff goes on there for 10 years and then moved north a little bit in the state.
Yeah.
And you just got to keep a perspective.
Yeah. Oh, cool. What do you do for kicks, Joe?
Well, I like to run.
You do?
Raise horses.
You do?
Yeah.
You have horses?
Yes, sir.
Or you just raise other people's horses?
No, I raise them and sell them to people. They're race horses.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Have you had horses running? And?
Oh, yeah.
You got some winners?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Is it okay to tell me? Or
do you want to know some names?
Give me some names.
Well, we got a couple running right now. One's real good. Red Hot Rush. Look for them at Delta Downs here soon.
Delta Downs?
Yeah. And 15th Street Flyer, you know.
Wait a minute, what race is he running in?
Oh, I don't know.
He's a lock in the third.
The meet opens up on Wednesday. I haven't seen the entries.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's worth a bet.
Okay, Delta Rush, and then what's the other one?
Oh, 15th Street Flyer won his last race. It's just a two-year-old.
15th Street Flyer.
That's a couple of them.
Okay, where is he running next?
Oh, probably at the fairgrounds.
Fairgrounds in?
In New Orleans. Opens in November, okay. Thanksgiving. Is
that, yeah. What are the odds on that?
I don't know. Depends on who
depends
he's in with,
happened.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Good dough, you'd say.
So,
anything you know that I should know, or
no.
From anybody's mouth?
No, don't have any tips for you.
Okay, cool. Well, that's really amazing. It's nice to have you here. What you're up here for some reason or a convention?
Well,
or something?
My son is. I'm bringing him up to the Holy Transfiguration Monastery in Eagle Harbor, Michigan. We're going to the crossing the DMZ here.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing.
So he's entering the monastery?
Well, he's sort of thinking of doing it, and he's going to be going to get the feel of the place for a while.
Wow, that's cool. All right, well, good luck to him, and good luck to you, and let's see how we can develop this here, right?
Yeah.
How does this work, then? We got a gentleman here who obviously has the je ne sais quoi.
Yes, and somebody else with the je ne sais quoi picks up the phone at home and dials 1-800-942-5669. You ask them a qualifying question, and if they get the answer right, they can play.
Okay, how many years before our Milky Way gets gobbled up by the bully of a galaxy, the Andromeda galaxy? How many years have we got? I will tell you that it's in billions. Billions, with a B. How many years before the Milky Way gets gobbled up by the Andromeda galaxy? Let's go to the phones right now. Joe's in Cleveland. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Are you?
Do I get a multiple choice on this?
No. Okay. Oh, yeah. I suppose I could. No, I won't, though. It's in the billions, I'll tell you that.
I will say $6 billion.
I'm sorry, it's $5 billion. You lose. No, Joe, that's so close. We got to give it. Just a billion years away. Joe and Joe, we got. I love it.
Two Joes.
Yes.
I can't.
Well, it's even smaller. It's a smaller world, too, Michael. My father was a guest on your show at the State Theater in Cleveland back in 1990. So
there you go. It gets better and better. And, Joe, what do you do down there in Cleveland these days?
I write software for the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, you do. You write software for the clinic. Great. I stayed at the Cleveland Clinic one time. They have a great hotel there.
Yes, they do.
They do, but everyone's got a bottle and a rack when you're in the elevator there with an IV coming on, and I was just staying there. It was a little odd. Joe, this is Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, thank you.
Okay, we got a team here going. Mm-hmm. Various categories, including the following.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Joe. I mean, Joe. You're first, Joe. Joe in Cleveland.
Okay. How about like? Science?
Science it is? Okay.
You better know this.
All right. You don't know science?
No.
You know everything else, though?
No.
Fly, like flies in beer. You know the expression? It's like flies in beer or on beer. Because why do flies like beer is the question. Is it because they like flapping in the foam? That yeast. Love that yeast. Or you'd be thirsty, too, if you had to fly this hard. Why do flies like beer? Attracted to beer.
I don't think it's the last one. What do you think, Joe?
My guess would be the yeast.
Sounds okay to me, huh, Michael?
My guess would be that, too. Yes, the yeast. They are attracted to the yeast, the brewer's yeast. Oh, that yeast. That's the attraction for all of us, I think.
One right. The categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Oh, things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Where'd you go to school then? Did you go down there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All kinds of schools.
Yeah. Name one.
UNO.
What are the odds on that?
Pretty good.
Okay. Between ages 6 and 12, what gives... Oh, okay. Between the ages 6 and 12, we're talking about children going to school here. Between the ages 6 and 12, what goes up and down in feelings about school, about the child's feelings in school? One goes up, one goes down. Is it excited and tired? Is it tired and stressed? Or is it bored and excited?
Well, you start off excited, but you usually end up bored. What do you think, Joe?
My guess is bored and excited.
Okay, I'll go along with that one, Joe.
Okay, you guys are good together. Okay. Yes, all right. Bored and excited. I mean, that's not good, but, you know, it's a long haul all those years in school.
It's too right. And the categories left are current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
From 5 until 35, or however long you're in school. Is it back to
Joe in Cleveland?
Back to Joe.
Joe in Cleveland. Odds and ends would be great.
Odds and ends.
Okay.
All right. Are you in a vehicle now, Joe, or something? You sound a little spacey.
Yes, I am in a vehicle.
Okay. Are you driving that vehicle, Joe?
Yes, but I'm driving safely.
Okay. Makes all the difference in the world. Where are you going?
I'm actually going to my our friend's 23rd annual clamping.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
Been doing this 1992.
Oh, that sounds great. What did you bring?
I brought some corn. I had to search high and low. It's a little bit late, but I managed to find some.
Oh, good work. All right, what moves like an elliptical cylinder in a revolving tread? Is it the sidewinder snake, pretty much any tank, or I can't remember her name?
I don't know. You know anything about salamanders, Joe?
Sidewinder.
I don't even know what a sidewinder is.
Sidewinder is the one that goes like that.
Okay. They don't have them down in the South. But I bet you that might be the answer. Something tells me that, Joe. You want to go along that sidewinder?
I will follow your lead, Joe.
Okay, sidewinder.
Sidewinder snake, yes, elliptical cylinder in a revolving tread. They've made them artificially now, but they're not as cool as a real
sidewinder. That's three right.
They could quit now, couldn't they?
They could quit now. They'd get some prizes.
Yeah, yeah, or what?
Or they could risk it all. They could beat the odds to get the mother load.
Mother load? Are you gentlemen interested
well,
in Joe?
For a dime,
in
out for a dollar.
Dollar.
What'd you say, Joe?
Yeah. Joe?
I'm all in for going for the mother load.
Yeah,
my friends at the clam bake would not, they wouldn't hear it if I passed.
Yeah, you'd have to be a lousy clam bake
agreed.
If you didn't go for it.
Okay.
It would be terrible.
Terrible. Ruin the clam bake. Okay, so they're going for it. You got to get this one right. Or
and
you
the categories
lose
are current events, people, or places.
Oh, it's me. Current events.
Current events, right out of the news. Mm-hmm. Okay, name one presidential contender currently who is more popular than not in their own state.
In their own state.
Yeah. Name one.
It's hard to name a presidential candidate. Nobody
who's actually more popular than not.
Well, I wonder if
state.
It's this governor of Wisconsin here.
No, I said name one.
That would be a definite
one.
Question, huh? Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't even know what Hillary Clinton's state is.
Name one. Go ahead. Name one.
One.
Joe in Cleveland?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
Let's
good
see. Joe Biden? He might run.
Name one. Come on.
Kerry?
Why can't you name one?
Well, because it's hard to come up with even president. Who's running for president? Let's see, who's on the Republican side even?
Some prosecuting attorney.
Yeah. And keep our nose out of politics.
Is this what you say to a jury here at the end?
Yeah. No. You
have those big closing statements?
Yeah, you try to, yeah, at
yeah.
least, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't have that kicker, you know.
Yeah, you don't like that. But name me one who's actually more popular than not in his own state. Name one. Joe? Joe?
In his own state.
Joe? Any Joe's out there?
Any
Joe?
Help out here?
No. You can't?
No.
You can't?
Well, I'll guess a name.
No, you say you can't?
I can't. None of them probably are.
No, all right! That's a leading question if I ever heard one.
Right. Joe from Louisiana and Joe from Cleveland, there's a whole world of prizes for you.
One.
However, we do not have time to talk about that.
No time, but you win the whole mother. Oh, yeah.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our special guest, Jim Gaffigan. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
Public Radio International.